Good morning, everybody. Well, good morning. I haven't seen you all summer. Nice to have you here today. Yeah, good. What a beautiful day. I am officially declaring that this is the most beautiful day in the whole year. So today, everybody, take a little walk, go sit outside, take a deep breath of fresh air, because it isn't going to get any better than this probably the rest of our lives, okay? So just enjoy this day. It just is so nice. And what better day way than to begin the worship the day than to start in prayer and sing these wonderful hymns. It's nice that you're here. You guys, you didn't get here early enough to get your back seat.
No.
You know what? That reminds me, we've got some folks from the second service, some folks from the first service, and I see our friend Dougie Kloss back there, those glasses sitting on his head. Nice to see you. Let's greet one another. If you don't know who's sitting in front of you or behind you, we're all brothers and sisters in Christ. Let's greet one another. We thank you for your presence in our lives. We thank you for the promise of your presence every moment of every day, and the promise that one day we will join you in your heavenly kingdom. So fill us with this resurrection faith. Open our eyes and our hearts to see the needs of your people. Soften us up, Lord, so that we can meet people with a tender heart and with sensitivity and caring. Bless our time together, Lord. Send your Spirit, for we pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Our opening hymn this morning is, Be Thou My Vision. We'll rise during the singing of the last verse. It is 793. 793. We open our worship this morning in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Please turn to the order of confession and forgiveness in your bulletins. Let us confess before God and those present our sins against God and others. Have mercy upon us, O God, for having abused the power of prayer, for using it so often to ask for things for ourselves, and not using it to express our gratitude. Forgive us for being selfish and forgetting to pray for those in need of healing. Pardon us wherein we are carrying larger burdens than necessary, because we have rolled strength instead of seeking your power through prayer. Forgive us and renew us in Jesus' name. Amen. May the Holy Spirit strengthen and lead us as we live our lives. Amen. Hallelujah. The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God, the communion of the Holy Spirit be with you all.
And also with you.
Let us pray. Sovereign God, ruler of all hearts, you call us to obey you, and you favor us with true freedom. Keep us faithful to the ways of your Son, that leaving behind all that hinders us, we may steadfastly follow your paths through Jesus Christ, our Savior and Lord. Living God, today we pray for our brothers and sisters who are in need of your healing, whether it be of body, mind, or spirit. Grant comfort in suffering to all who are in need of healing. When they are afraid, give them courage. When afflicted, give them patience. When dejected, give them hope. And when alone, assure them of the support of their brothers and sisters in Christ. We ask this through Christ our Lord. Amen. Please be seated. I look at our friend Darwin, and he doesn't have any special music today. So, I'm going to sing my favorite Christmas song, Joy to the World. Please turn to hymn 267. 267. Let's sing the first, second, and last verse of 267. Joy to the world, the Lord.
The first reading today is from 1 Timothy, chapter 6, verses 6 through 19. Of course, there is a great gain in godliness combined with contentment, for we have brought nothing into the world, so we can take nothing out of it. But if we have food and clothing, we will be in control with these. But those who want to be rich fall in temptation and are trapped by many useless and harmful desires that plunge people into ruin and destruction. For the love of money is a root of all kinds of evil, and in their eagerness to be rich, some have wandered away from faith and pierced themselves with many pains. But as for you, man of God, son of all the pursue righteousness, godliness, faith, love, endurance, gentleness, fight the good fight of the faith. Take hold of eternal life, in which you were called, and for which you have made a good confession in the presence of many witnesses. In the presence of God, who gives life to all things, and of Christ Jesus, who was in his testimony before Pontius Pilate, made a good confession, I charge that you keep the commandments without spot or blame until the manifestation of our Lord Jesus Christ, which he will bring about at the right time. He who is blessed and only sovereign, King of kings and Lord of lords, it is alone that he is mortality and dwells in the inapproachable light, whom no one has ever seen or can see. To him be honor and eternal dominion. Amen. As for those who in the present age are rich, command them not to be haughty and not to set their hopes on the uncertainty of riches, but rather on God, who richly provides us with everything for our enjoyment. They are to do good, to be rich in good works, generous and ready to share, thus storing up themselves in the treasure of a good foundation of future, so that they may take hold of life that really is life. The psalm today is Psalm 146. The congregation will follow in bold print, and in where there is an R, the Lord will give justice to those who are oppressed. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord, O my soul.
I will praise the Lord as long as I live. I will sing praises to my God, all I have and my being.
Put not their trust in rulers, but mortals in whom there is no help. The Lord gives justice to those who are oppressed. Happy are they who have the God of Jacob for their help, whose hope is in the Lord our God.
Who made heaven and earth, the seas and all that is in them, who keeps promises forever.
Who gives justice to those who are oppressed and food to those who hunger. The Lord sets the captive free.
The Lord opens the eyes of the blind. The Lord lifts up those who are bowed down. The Lord loves the righteous.
The Lord cares for the stranger. The Lord sustains the orphan and the widow, but frustrates the way of the wicked.
The Lord shall reign forever. Your God will stand throughout all generations. Hallelujah. The Lord gives justice to those who are oppressed.
Will the congregation please rise with the gospel?
Thanks, Steve. Good job.
Thank you.
The Holy Gospel for this 19th Sunday after Pentecost is found in the 16th chapter of St. Luke. Jesus tells a parable in which the poor one is lifted up and the rich one is sent away empty. Jesus makes it clear that this ethic of merciful reversal is not new, but is as old as Moses and the prophets. There was a rich man who was dressed in purple and fine linen who feasted sumptuously every day. And at his gate lay a poor man named Lazarus, covered with sores, who longed to satisfy his hunger with what fell from the rich man's table. Even the dogs would come and lick his sores. The poor man died and was carried away by the angels to be with Abraham. The rich man also died and was buried. In Hades, where he was being tormented, he looked up and saw Abraham far away with Lazarus by his side. He called out, "Father Abraham, have mercy on me, and send Lazarus to dip the tip of his finger in water and cool my tongue, for I am in agony in these flames." But Abraham said, "Child, remember that during your lifetime you received your good things, and Lazarus in like manner evil things. But now he is comforted here, and you are in agony. Besides all this, between you and us a great chasm has been fixed, so that those who might want to pass from here to you cannot do so, and no one can cross from there to us. He said, Then, Father, I beg you to send him to my father's house, for I have five brothers, that he may warn them, so that they will not also come into this place of torment. Abraham replied, They have Moses and the prophets. They should listen to them. He said, No, Father Abraham, but if someone goes to them from the dead, they will repent. He said to him, They do not listen to Moses and the prophets, neither will they be convinced, even if someone rises from the dead. The word of God, the word of life. Please be seated as we sing our sermon hymn 820, O Savior, Precious Savior. Grace be unto you and peace from God our Father and our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. I heard a comedian the other night on television. He was saying this. He said, I used to think I was poor, but then they told me I wasn't poor, I was needy. And then they told me that being needy was self-defeating, to think of yourself as being deprived. And then they said, oh, not deprived, but you're underprivileged. And then they told me that underprivileged is overused, that I was disadvantaged. Then the camera zoomed in on his face, and he says, I still don't have a dime, but I've got a great vocabulary. Maybe the comedian was laughing to keep from crying, because whatever you may call it, being poor isn't any fun. So we have this parable. Jesus says, there was a rich man who was dressed in purple and fine linen, lived in luxury. At his gate was a beggar named Lazarus, covered with sores, longing to eat what fell from the rich man's table. Even the dogs would come and lick his sores. And then the time came when the beggar died, and the angels carried him to Abraham's side. And the rich man also died and was buried, and he ends up in Hades, where he was in torment. And the rich man looks up and sees Abraham and Lazarus by his side, and he calls to him, "Father Abraham, please have pity on me and send Lazarus down to dip the tip of his finger in the water so that it might cool my tongue, because I'm in agony in this fire." And Abraham replies, "Son, remember that in your lifetime you received all the good things and Lazarus received the bad things, but he's comforted here and now you are in torment." If there was a parable of Jesus that was ever told that should keep us awake at night, it might be this one. The story of the rich man and Lazarus. Why? Because compared to most of the people in the world, and you've heard this over and over and over again, compared to most people in the world, we are very, very wealthy. In fact, the Bible teacher that all three of the Bible studies that I've been teaching, we've used William Barclay. He entitles this parable, "The Punishment of the Man Who Never Noticed." Punishment of the man who never noticed. That's us. What I'd like us to think about today is how many of us have ever noticed how Jesus talked about our responsibilities to the poor and the downtrodden. And at the end of the 25th chapter of Matthew, "For I was hungry on the last day, and you gave me nothing to eat. I was thirsty, and you gave me nothing to drink. I was a stranger, and you did not visit me. I was naked, you did not clothe me. I was in prison, you did not stop and see me. Insomuch as you do it unto the least of these, my brethren, you've done it unto me." When did we see you not hungry? When did we see you thirsty or in prison or naked? Whenever you didn't do it for them, you didn't do it for me, Jesus says. That's a message throughout the scripture. We might call that one the punishment of the people who never noticed. How many of us ever really notice the problems of the poor in our society? Rich man in the parable, he's not alone. Or Jesus probably would have never told this story. All over the world, in every generation, this seems to be a common theme. I was just reading, I think it was in the Week magazine. They give me a nickel every time I mention the Week magazine. World Bank, they said that nearly 2.8 billion people, almost half the people in the world, still live on a salary of less than $2 a day. 2.8 billion people. 1.1 billion live on less than $1 a day in absolute poverty. We hear the figures, we read it, we know it, but does anybody really care? If you do, but still, to what lengths will some people go to not notice? Next year, the Summer Olympics are down in Brazil. In São Paulo, they've got such a problem with the poor where they're going to run the soccer fields. They've got such a problem with the poor that they can't figure out what to do, so they're walling them off. And the rich people in São Paulo, Brazil, they put in something like 240 helicopter pads, so they don't have to go through it, they can just fly over it. Compare that with 10 helicopter pads in New York City. They put 240 helicopter pads in, so they can just fly right over and not have to deal with it. That's one way to ignore the problem. That's one way not to notice. You notice that Jesus said in his parable at Lazarus that he was laid at the gates of the rich man. He didn't walk there. He didn't drive there. He was an invalid who had to be laid there. Lazarus was totally helpless. There's no welfare programs there. He obviously had no family to care for him. All he could do was beg. But the rich man, he couldn't be bothered to share a few coins. He refused to even acknowledge Lazarus' existence. He was the man who refused to notice. There was one who did notice, however. God noticed. Luke tells us that the time came when Lazarus died. When that happened, the angels came and delivered him up to sit next to Father Abraham. And that gave it a nice twist on the parable. It would demonstrate how differently we see the world if we're the rich man, and the way God sees the world. You see, in Jesus' story, it was Lazarus who made a name for himself and not the rich man. We know Lazarus' name, but we don't know the rich man's name. Jesus identified Lazarus. Lazarus was named. That's significant because a name is important in the scriptures. When giving a parable, Jesus never named a character except in this one parable. He names the poor guy. Rich man's nameless. Lazarus is named. The difference is big because it's the difference between being known and honored by God and not being known and honored by God. Lazarus knew God and was known by God. His very name, Lazarus, means God is my help. One of the theologians that I read about this said, by naming Lazarus and not the rich man, Jesus' story completely contrasts with worldly understandings of who's who. As was his style, Jesus reminds us that heaven is the opposite of this world in many respects, especially when it comes to rating an individual's worth in society. And this author said she asked some of her confirmation students, her high school students, to name some rich men. So they named Bill Gates and Donald Trump and the Mideast oil people and Oprah. Then they named some poor people. And one guy said, well, the guy that's homeless that sleeps behind the furniture store. And another person said, well, that older crazy lady that's begging for coins when we come out of McDonald's. I mean, they couldn't name any specific persons. And then this author writes, we all understand what Jesus was saying. God cares about everybody, even and especially those that society would rather not notice and definitely not name. God notices Lazarus and gives him a name. In fact, I was going to entitle this sermon, The Man Who Made a Name for Himself and the Man Who Did Not. And it was Lazarus that made a name for himself. God also notices the actions of the rich man who refused to notice the poor. So Luke tells us the rich man also died, was buried in Hades, where he's tormented. The man looks up, sees Abraham far away with Lazarus by his side. Father Abraham, please send Lazarus down. Dip his finger in some water so it could cool my tongue. But Abraham says, son, remember that in your lifetime you received all the good things and Lazarus didn't. Now he's comforted here and you're in agony. Why do you suppose the rich man was in Hades? Why was he in Hades? It was because God noticed him as well. But why did God deal with him so harshly? I mean, there's no record of this guy being vicious or sinful. There's no record of him being vulgar. There's no record of public sin that this rich man did. He never ordered Lazarus from the gate. He never refused Lazarus a crumb from his table. He wasn't a tyrant. He wasn't an oppressor of the poor. He wasn't a monstrous member of society like Hitler or Saddam Hussein. I mean, no earthly court would ever have convicted him from anything that we can see in this parable. In society's eyes, he's honored. He's respected. People liked him, spoke well of him. So what was his sin that he goes to Hades? It was the sin of not noticing. He didn't notice. And so as I think about this parable, how often do you and I take time to notice people around us and their needs and their concerns? not just homeless people, asking for a handout on some streets in Minneapolis, but the lonely teenager who lives down the road, huh? Or the young mother who's trying to keep her family together after her husband has abandoned her. How often do we notice the elderly person who has no one to visit them? Or the guy who's being left behind by our culture a culture no longer values his gifts and talents, huh? How often do we notice the person who just sits a short way from us in church, who's received some devastating report from a doctor? Do we even notice what other people around us are going through? And I'm not only preaching to you, I'm preaching to myself here. It's a lesson I think we all need to hear today. It's a sin that affects all of us to one degree or another, and yet we would rather turn our backs and not deal with it. It's the sin of what I call self-absorption. It's the sin of being so preoccupied with our own cares and concerns that we give no thought to the problems that are around us. One of my professors once conducted some research about why some people are so generous and compassionate while others are not. The thing that stood out was that compassionate people had in their past someone who had acted with compassion toward them. This experience of having someone show compassion toward them had transformed their lives. He told about a guy named Jack Casey. Jack Casey said all he'd ever learned from his father was that he didn't want to be like him. But he said there was a turning point in his life. He had to have surgery. No one from his family was there. But before he went to the surgery, he was scared to death. And a nurse came and took him by the hand and held his hand and said, "I'll be there for you. I will stay here with you." And he went through the surgery, and when he was coming out of a recovery, there that nurse was holding his hand. And she kept her word, and she was there, and she greeted him with a smile the moment he opened his eyes. Well, years later, this Jack became a paramedic. He was called to the scene of an accident. The truck had overturned. Man was stuck in his seatbelt. Gas was pouring down. Jack, the paramedic, stood and held his hand, reached in and held his hand and says, "I won't leave you. I won't leave you." And as the other first responders cut him away and saved him, days later when they met and the man thanked Jack, he said, "Why did you stay?" He says, "Why did you stay? You were crazy to stay there with me. You could have died." And Jack smiled and says, "I couldn't leave you, and I wouldn't leave you. I was going to stay no matter what." Here's the point of the message. There's a time spiritually when each one of us was a beggar lying totally helpless at the gates, and Christ noticed us. And Christ loved us just as we are. And as we remember that truth, as we remember that compassion and that grace, Christ calls us to look around and see the people that need our attention, that need our compassion, that need our love. And what the research shows is that the person might just remember our generous attention when he or she is in a position to help someone else. You and I are setting the example because of the example that has been set for us. But we can't be part of this chain of love if we never take time to look beyond our own cares and our own concerns. Don't live like the rich man who will forever be remembered as the man who refused to notice. Look around you today on this beautiful, beautiful Sunday morning and see someone who might need your love. Amen. God's peace and love be with us now and always. Amen. Let's join in singing our next hymn, 774, 774. We'll invite the ushers to receive our morning offering.
Yeah.
Please rise and let us join in the offertory prayer on page 4. Let us pray together. God, giver of every good and perfect gift, we thank you for the daily blessings of life. May these gifts bring hope and healing to a world in need. Amen. With the whole people of God in Christ Jesus, let us pray for the church, those in need, and all of God's creation. Part of our work as a congregation is to pray for the sick. Prayer for the sick is an important Christian discipline and a biblical injunction. We want it to be a part of our worship program. A theology of wholeness and wellness, however, also would include a work of thanksgiving and support for those who are healthy and are seeking to be good stewards of all God's blessings. Teach us, O God, how to walk in paths of wholeness and hope. Let those who are lonely or sorrowing be comforted and called back into community.
Let those who are depressed or suffering from mental anguish be helped through compassionate care and support.
Let those who are facing illness of body be encouraged and assisted as they seek to recover or be released from their pain.
Let those who are healthy celebrate with joy.
Let those of us who are able, honor your creation through thankful enjoyment of nutritious food, clean air and water, and vigorous exercise.
Let us rejoice in the splendid variety of your creation.
Help us to be a healthy and healing congregation, O God, a place where all are free to live fully in body, mind, and spirit. This we pray in your precious name. Amen. You are invited this morning to come forward to receive a blessing, the sign of the cross and oil on your hand, to strengthen you in your faith walk. You can also light a candle as you say a prayer. If you have a special prayer request, you can record it on paper and place it in the basket on the altar. Please be seated. I'm going to invite our parish nurses to come forward at this time to lead us in this prayer. Please rise. Let's join together in the prayer our Lord has taught us to pray. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen. May the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ fill you with every spiritual blessing. May the God of faithfulness and encouragement grant you to live in harmony with one another, in accordance with Christ Jesus. May the God of hope fill you with all joy and peace in believing, so that you may abound in hope by the power of the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
May the Lord walk beside you to comfort you. May the Lord walk above you to watch over you. May the Lord walk behind you to keep you safe. May the Lord walk before you to show you the way. Amen. Our closing hymn is Go My Children, 543, 543.
Oh, my children.